We're tracking the potential for severe storms with damaging wind gusts and hail. I'll have a closer look at when these storms could begin to move in coming up.
And today, lawmakers are discussing a measure that could put restrictions on young athletes. We'll explain what's in the bill and share reaction.
Also, Honda recalls more than 500,000 CRVs, the two problems that prompted the recall and what the company plans to do about it.
Today's a weather alert day here at WRAL due to the threats of strong wind and hail. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. The hot and humid weather may help to fuel severe storms this afternoon. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is here with a look at the town-by-town storm line, Kat.
And those storms not set to arrive until later on this evening into tonight. You still have hours to go before any of this bad weather gets here. The dual Doppler 5000 radar showing no showers or thunderstorms in sight. But as we move toward the evening commute, that is likely to change. There's still only about a 20% chance for a shower or storm at 5 o'clock. So I think the way things are trending, most of us will be in pretty good shape for the drive home this evening. But it's as we get closer to dinner time that we could begin to see an isolated storm popping up, with the bulk of this activity coming a little bit later on tonight. That's the trend that we have seen today. These storms are slowing down, and by 8 o'clock, I think we'll have about a 40% chance of a thunderstorm, and we could begin to see some of those storms in the triangle. But this is also going to help to limit the storm energy. The later these storms move in, the less energy they'll have to work with. Still, enough energy in place with this hot and humid weather that we've seen today that we are concerned about an isolated severe storm. Not everyone will see one, but those storms could drop some hail and potentially produce some damaging wind gusts as well. Here's the updated severe weather risk, a level 2 threat for severe weather in yellow. This includes northern Granville County, northern Person County, and much of Mecklenburg County. The level 1 threat, so one tier lower in terms of the severity, would be just north of Raleigh. It includes Durham, Chapel Hill, up into Franklin County and Warren County as well. I'll have a closer look at the high-resolution model data for tomorrow and Saturday coming up and let you know when the rain should clear out for Easter Sunday.
All right, thank you, Kat. Scary moments for a Durham mother this morning after her infant was abducted. Police responded to Courtney Creek Boulevard just after 7:40 this morning. This incident happened at the Encore at the Park Apartments. That's where WRAL's Monica Casey is right now. Monica, where does this stand now?
Well, the 6-month-old baby is back home safely with her mother. Neighbors tell us they were outside this building over here when the suspect approached them with a knife and abducted the child. Police say when they arrived here just before 8 o'clock, the mother told them what had happened. They searched this area and they found the baby in a nearby apartment and reunited her with her mother. The suspect in this case is a juvenile and has been taken into custody. Now, almost 5 hours later, DPD's mobile command unit is still here on scene. Neighbors here in this apartment complex did not want to go on camera, but they tell me off camera they're just happy this baby is safe and reunited with her mother at this time. Michelle?
We are all happy about that. Monica Casey, live in Durham. Thanks, Monica.
Republican lawmakers unveiled a bill this morning to ban transgender female students from playing on girls' sports teams in middle school and high school. 20 other states have already passed similar bans, and North Carolina is expected to follow suit. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live from the legislative building to explain this noon. Laura?
Jeff, the bill would forbid anyone born male from competing on girls' sports teams at the middle or high school level. Sponsors of the bill say they're protecting girls from unfair competition and possible bodily injury from stronger, larger competitors. Now, according to the State High School Athletics Association, only about 15 known transgender athletes are competing in the state out of more than 180,000 student athletes. That's less than 1/1,000th of a percent. But advocates of the bill say female students should not have to compete against students who were born male. They say biological males are larger and stronger than most females even before puberty and much more so after. And they say female athletes can be hurt while they're playing against competitors who were born male. Retired UNC Chapel Hill women's basketball coach Sylvia Hatchell is in favor of the bill. She said she's been a champion of women's sports for 50 years. She believes allowing transgender girls to compete against cisgendered or biological girls could deprive biological females of victories, awards, or even scholarships.
The purpose of Title IX was to make sports fair and equal. Females having to compete against transgenders is not fair and equal. Is there a place for transgenders in sports? Yes, there is, but it's a separate category.
The North Carolina High School Athletics Association is opposed to the bill. They say they can manage this issue without a state law. Allison Scott with the Campaign for Southern Equality says every major medical association has come out in favor of allowing trans youth to play sports with the gender they identify as. They say there's no advantage when all medical guidelines are followed. This bill is just one of six that were filed yesterday aimed at transgender youth. Other bills would outlaw medical, either gender-affirming medical therapy or treatments for transgender minors. The similar bills are moving through Republican state houses across the country. Jeff?
All right. Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie, live for us noon from the legislative building. Thank you for that. More than 400 anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced across the country this year. It's a new record, according to the American Civil Liberties Union. It's already more than twice the number of bills like it introduced last year. Education and health care related bills in particular are flooding in at unprecedented levels. Dozens of bills introduced this year have been signed into law in 11 states so far.
And breaking here in the WRL Live Center, major developments in the fight for gun control in Tennessee. We want to take you live inside the Tennessee House at this hour. A heated debate is happening over a GOP-led resolution to expel three Democratic lawmakers for joining a gun control protest earlier this week and demonstrating inside the chamber. Well, today, thousands of demonstrators are back at the Capitol urging lawmakers to act on gun safety measures. Many of the people you see here are parents and teachers, really frustrated by this GOP-led move to expel those Democratic lawmakers. This also follows the shooting, the deadly shooting at that Covenant school earlier in the last week or so, where six people died, including three children. We should also note that the Tennessee Senate deferred gun control reform until next year.
All right, Ken, thanks for that update. The rules for making changes to the curriculum used by teachers and students here in North Carolina's public schools could soon be stricter. The State Board of Education is voting today on how statewide standards are set. A new set of proposed rules would require three-quarters of school systems to respond to a survey on any changes before they happen. The policy would also require some parent and student feedback. Well, this afternoon, Honda is recalling nearly 564,000 older small SUVs. The company says road salt used to clear roads in the winter can cause the frame to rust and rear suspension parts to become loose, resulting in the driver losing control. The recall covers certain CRVs from 2007 through 2011. Dealers will inspect the SUVs and install a support brace or repair the frame. If the frame is badly damaged, Honda may offer to buy the vehicle. Owners will be notified starting May 8th.
A new project could be coming to Glenwood South. WRL's Brian Schrader has a look at the changes that could be in store for that neighborhood. Brian?
Jeff, we're very early in this process, but Raleigh City Council made way for a possible 10-story development in the Glenwood South neighborhood. Now, here's the area we're talking about. It's the property along Johnson Street between St. Mary's Street and Boylan Avenue. The owners of that land requested commercial mixed-use zoning up to 10 stories tall. I just talked with the owner of some of those parcels, Matt Stevens, and he tells me that right now he is looking for a development partner to work on a possible project, but right now there is no timeline for a development. The current tenants along that street include some well-known businesses like My Way Tavern, Glenwood South Tailor, City Pet Grooming, and Stephen tells me that his company is honoring all of those current leases, but it looks like a mid-rise development is coming there.
Well, it affects a lot of folks who live in that area as well. Brian, thank you. Today's the last day you can make your voice heard on whether Go Triangle should bring back its bus fares. Since the start of the pandemic, riding a Go Triangle bus has been free. Officials put out a survey that ends today asking people who use the transit service if they would continue to use it if they had to pay. The transit authority says it would lose about $2 million per year without those fares, and that could affect services. Take a look at stocks this noon. You can see the Dow Jones Industrial Average has spent the entire day in negative territory. It's there right now, down 26 points.
It was a beautiful morning to take a train ride with Raleigh's police chief. Chief Estella Patterson and other Raleigh police officers all hopped on the train at Pullen Park this morning with children and other community members. It was part of the Walk with a Cop event put on by Raleigh Police, aimed at making police more visible and accessible to residents in the capital city. The chief ended the train ride with handing out paper police badges to children in attendance. And coming up next for us at noon, it's the most important Christian holiday of the year. Ahead of Easter, how Holy Thursday is being celebrated in Jerusalem.
Also, frequent tornadoes means an update to tracking technology, the new research designed to save lives.
Plus, a fraudulent blood testing device discovered in New York. Why prosecutors say a company sold tests they knew were no good.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Our new news continues now with breaking news here at the WRAL Live Center. We want to take you live to these pictures on I-95. These are the southbound lanes you're looking at Prince William County. That's just outside D.C. in the Virginia area. Here's what you're looking at. Those two vehicles right there, this is what happened after a police pursuit. Investigators say they found a woman who was abducted in New York. They found her body in one of those cars. The suspected abductor suffered injuries, life-threatening injuries. He was taken to the hospital. But if you're having any friends or family coming to the Triangle and they're using I-95 South, look at the backup that this is causing there along I-95 South. You can see just two of the three lanes are open right now. Traffic is moving very slowly. So I-95 will be that way until investigators finish clearing the scene. No word yet on when that's going to happen. We'll keep monitoring it here in the WRAL Live Center.
All right, thanks, Ken. Stacey Abrams is adding a new job to her resume. The former Georgia gubernatorial candidate has been named chair for race and black politics at Howard University. The Ronald W. Walters Endowed Chair is a new role at the school. Walters was an internationally renowned scholar and activist and an expert on issues affecting the African diaspora. Howard says Abrams will inspire research and encourage broad discussions for real-world solutions to complex societal problems. John F. Kennedy's nephew is running for president in 2024. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has filed paperwork with the Federal Election Commission to run as a Democrat. He was previously known as an author and environmental lawyer. In recent years, he's become a prominent voice in the anti-vaccine movement. Kennedy joins author Marianne Williamson as Democrat candidates for the election. President Biden is expected to announce his bid for re-election sometime this year.
Christians gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate Holy Thursday ahead of Easter Sunday. The ceremony took place at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That's where Christians believe Jesus was crucified and buried. Holy Thursday commemorates the Last Supper of Jesus, where he created the sacrament of Holy Communion. Easter celebrates the day the faithful believe Jesus rose from the dead in Jerusalem. And a healthy-looking Pope begins 4 days leading up to Easter, urging priests to seek harmony. The pontiff led Mass at St. Peter's Basilica on Holy Thursday, urging priests to avoid divisiveness and seek harmony in order to win back the faithful. Later today, Pope Francis is scheduled to wash and kiss the feet of 12 inmates at a juvenile facility outside of Rome. That gesture commemorates Jesus' humility towards his apostles on the night before his death. And Muslims are observing the Islamic holy month of Ramadan in Mecca. Part of the pilgrimage includes walking around a large cube-shaped building inside Islam's holiest mosque 7 times. The faithful believe Kaaba is where God ordered Abraham to sacrifice his son Ishmael as a test of faith. Pilgrims circle 7 times in honor of Abraham's wife, Hagar, who Muslims believe ran between two hills 7 times to bring water to her son.
The recent wave of tornadoes we've seen across the country makes warning systems all the more urgent. Blaine Alexander reports on new research to save lives as the traditional path of these storms is changing.
In the fields of southern Tennessee, it's sunny skies now.
Ready? Okay.
But this team, led by atmospheric scientist Karen Kosiba, is preparing for the storm.
Essentially, the goal is to put yourself right in the path of these storms.
Yeah. Perils really is trying to get right in the path of these storms. We're trying to get slightly ahead of them.
Meet the Perils Project.
I can see that from here.
A unit deploying radars, sensors, and scientists in storm after storm, all specifically to study tornadoes in the southeast, which researchers say are growing more frequent and more deadly.
We're trying to understand better these storms, where they're going to produce tornadoes, what the environment looks like before these storms produce tornadoes, so we could better predict tornadoes in the southeast.
Why are these storms so dangerous?
These storms are dangerous for many reasons. First of all, they can occur at off hours, so when people aren't prepared for tornadoes.
Tornadoes like the ones that ravaged parts of Mississippi last month and just days ago tore through Arkansas and Tennessee.
There's a high population density in the southeast, so these storms and these tornadoes have the potential to impact lots of towns or lots of people.
Historically, the Great Plains is considered Tornado Alley, the area with the highest frequency of these storms. But that trend has started to shift. Research shows over the past four decades, there's been an increase in the number of tornadoes in the southeast.
Oh my God.
This was the fifth straight year that's produced a powerful EF4 tornado in the month of March, four of those in the southeast.
Will this research help create more accurate forecasts?
Yes, we really want to get better warnings out there, better predictability, and really make sure people could take the actions that they need to be in a safe place.
Providing critical seconds that could save countless lives.
That was Blaine Alexander reporting. And sticking to weather here, surveillance video shows the moment lightning strikes a truck in Missouri. Wow. Greene County shared the video on its Facebook page. Check that out. The lightning hit the roof of a highway department truck, cracking the front and rear windshields. Lightning also hit the ground and damaged other equipment and several manhole covers. So whenever you see lightning, very important to take cover. Get inside.
Oh, there's no doubt. We have seen that watching this move across the nation. Mm-hmm. Same system coming through our way. Our mountains will knock it down just a little bit. Kat Campbell in the WRO Severe Weather Center, though, with what's happening right now.
And, you know, things are quiet right now, but I don't think that the radar is going to be quiet later on tonight. So if you need to do anything outside, get it done now. The next couple of days are going to be soakers out there. And later on tonight, especially once we get past the evening commute, that's when our thunderstorm threat returns. For now, it is hot and humid, 78 degrees and overcast. But boy, the humidity today, it feels like summer. Dew points in the upper 60s. And that is pretty close to what we see June, July, sometimes even higher than that, though, in August. Over the next couple of hours, temperatures should warm into the 80s again. By 6, 7 o'clock, isolated thunderstorms will be possible. Your evening commute forecast features about a 30% chance for storms by 6 and 7. But the new model guidance that we've seen today has slowed these storms down a little bit. And that's good news. I think 5 o'clock should be mainly dry out there. But I do want to focus on tomorrow as well. We're not under a threat for severe storms tomorrow, but we are going to see a lot more rain. 8 a.m. for the morning commute, we've got rain for much of the area. Some pockets of heavier rain expected as well. So this could really slow down your ride. You may want to leave some extra time, especially because tomorrow's Friday before Easter weekend. I know a lot of folks may be traveling. Factor in some extra time. I think it's going to be a slow going drive out there. 5 o'clock, we still have widespread rain, but we may start to see the rain lighten up tomorrow night. Fills right back in those Saturday morning. With the front stalling nearby, we're going to be on the cooler side of the front. And with the front nearby, we're going to see these waves of rain just keep developing. It'll be a little breezy, too, a northeast wind on Saturday, around 15 miles per hour. So keep the rain gear handy both tomorrow and Saturday. Just look like soakers out there. But this should be a nice, healthy dose of rain for your grass and your yard. Once we get to Sunday, Easter Sunday, we start to see some improvements. We have a 30% chance for rain. That would be for the early morning hours. If you're going to a sunrise service, if you're waking up early on Sunday, you may run into some rain. By lunchtime, I think we will dry out, and the remainder of the afternoon, we start to see sunshine and improving weather. It is trending a little cooler on Sunday with high temperatures near 60. I did want to point out temperatures tomorrow, a little unusual. Typically, it warms up during the afternoon. Tomorrow is going to be the opposite. It's actually going to be warmer when you wake up than when you leave work tomorrow afternoon. That's when temperatures are going to be falling into the upper 40s to lower 50s. Just a completely different look and feel outside tomorrow. Not the hot, humid conditions. Instead, breezy, cool, and soggy throughout the day. Keep the umbrella handy for the next couple of days. Once we get to Sunday, that's when we begin to see some improvements. And early next week looks pretty good. High temperatures in the 60s and 70s, and we should see some more sunshine to finally help us dry out. I did want to point out some chilly mornings coming up. 41 the low on Easter Sunday morning. Just 40 degrees by Monday morning. Some of our northern counties could be in the upper 30s, so we'll have to watch for frost potential. Not expecting to see a freeze, though, anywhere in the viewing area. We'll keep an eye on the radar for you. Make sure you check back in this evening as we track the potential for some of those storms moving into the area.
All right, thank you, Kat. Ahead on our news this afternoon, it's that time of year when we are already spending more time outdoors. And with that comes more exposure to the sun's damaging UV rays. Today on our news at 4, national experts offer protection options beyond a good layer of sunscreen.
Then WRL Investigates checks out COVID relief fraud. Tonight at 6, see the aggressive effort to get back money meant to keep businesses afloat but ended up in the wrong hands. And still ahead this noon, if you're in the market for a new vehicle, get to the dealership fast. How this year's inventory compares to last.
Plus, we often share negative stories about the damage caused by climate change, but some researchers say it could be helping a species of sea turtles increase its population.
Babies crying, horns honking, Apple releases a new noise reduction tool to filter out the extra noise on your calls. And ahead of cookout season, why is beef still so pricey? Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
A slowing economy may lead to a decline in sales of pricey beef cuts, but don't look for any bargains just yet. Devastating droughts that have hit the U.S. in recent years will likely keep hamburger and steak prices steady and relatively expensive. In part, that's because there's less beef. Farmers started to rapidly sell cattle because the dry conditions, along with higher feed costs, made it expensive or impossible to maintain their herds. Pack your bags. International travel is on the rise. AAA reports that airline bookings are up more than 200% compared to 2022. Europe and Canada are the most popular destinations, with Rome, Paris, Vancouver, and Dublin as the hotspots. London, in particular, has a 350% increase in travelers compared to last year. And as a result, hotel bookings are on the rise, up more than 300% compared to 2022. Now, unfortunately, higher demand for flights means higher airfares, but it doesn't seem to be deterring travelers from going abroad. As part of its iOS 16.4 update, Apple added its voice isolation feature to cell phone calls. The feature brings the caller's voice to the forefront, blocking out ambient noise. After updating your iPhone to the latest iOS, dial a phone number, even your own, to test out the feature. Now, when on the call, swipe down from the top right to access the control center. Tap the button labeled Mic Mode, then select Voice Isolation. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, more destinations out of RDU International. Avelo Airlines announcing this morning it's adding new flights to Florida's Space Coast this summer. Avelo will start nonstop flights to Melbourne, Florida on June 23rd. Now, it will operate twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays. Actually, a good weekend getaway right there. RDU is now a hub for Avelo Airlines, now offering 11 nonstop flights originating at RDU International. Of course, this is all happening just in time for what's shaping up to be a very busy summer travel season.
Very exciting. Thank you, Ken. The Treasury Department says the Social Security program and Medicare could fall short of cash in the next decade. The Hospital Insurance Trust Fund, also known as Medicare Part A, is expected to run out of money by 2031, and the Social Security Trust Fund is expected to be depleted by 2033. U.S. dealerships are seeing sales reach pre-pandemic levels as more cars and trucks hit the lots. J.D. Power says first quarter auto sales are expected to be up 6% to 3.5 million compared to last year. Supply chain issues were the main factor for lower sales as dealers were running out of vehicles to sell back in 2022. New data shows a 50% increase from a year ago of available stock at dealerships and cars in transit.
Lingering questions from parents this noon about how and when they were notified that a student carried a gun to school.
Plus, federal prosecutors are going after three executives for fraud. Find out how long the government says they knew lead testing devices did not work. And as we head to break, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Today, counselors are at Sherwood Githens Middle School in Durham after administrators found a gun in a student's backpack. WRAL's Michael Grace explains that student is facing some serious consequences.
Well, that student facing a year suspension, possibly even more charges from authorities. And what's even more troubling is we spoke to a parent of a student here about the situation. They said they weren't surprised when they first heard about it because it's happening more and more. Obviously, the country just moving past that horrific shooting in Nashville, Tennessee at that school. And here in Durham, gun violence revolving around students is a common issue. In February, there was a shooting near Hillside High School. And in March, two DPS students were killed in a shooting near Brogdon Middle School. This morning back at Sherwood Githens, we saw a sheriff deputy pull up outside the school prior to student drop-offs. Now, another thing we're still working to find out from DPS is why they sent the alert about the handgun after school ended, but nonetheless, a very stressful time for parents and students in this city. In Durham, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
And students at Rogers Herr Middle School were greeted by extra security today. In a call to parents, the principal told families the school received a possible threat on social media. Durham police are investigating. At this point, they have not found the threat to be credible. The principal told parents to talk with their children and remind them that posting threats to school is serious and will not be tolerated.
And finding solutions to gun violence will be the focus tonight as local leaders and the Durham County Sheriff gather at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. The Durham branch of the NAACP and the Durham Committee on the Affairs of Black People are hosting a panel discussion. They'll also answer questions about the best ways to reduce a rise in shootings, especially among young people. Organizers say there's a lot to work on.
Their aggression and their tendencies are often taken out on one another because they can't reach the people that are causing them the hurt or the harm. And so we have to find a way to help them mitigate these things and come to terms with where they are.
Tonight's discussion starts at 6:30.
Three executives at Magellan Diagnostics are accused of misleading tens of thousands of customers by putting out a lead testing device that prosecutors say they knew didn't work. Abby Nizgoda tells us their device accounted for more than half of all lead blood tests between 2013 and 2017.
It's very small, portable, easy to use.
That's Amy Winslow back in 2016. The then president and CEO of Magellan Diagnostics was talking up the lead testing equipment they just sent to Flint, Michigan.
Does it work pretty well?
Yeah, it works really well.
But authorities say not exactly.
Do you want to apologize to the customers?
This is the 51-year-old from Needham now that she's facing federal charges. 66-year-old Reba Doust of Amesbury is charged too. The former executives at the Billerica-based company are both accused of hiding a malfunction on the lead care devices.
What did you know at that time, and when did you know it?
Excuse me.
The result? Tens of thousands of patients receiving inaccurately low lead test results, many of them children.
The distribution of highly dangerous products to the most vulnerable of our societies.
NBC 10 boss and legal analyst Michael Coyne says the feds have a strong case because according to the indictment, the former executives knew about the problem for at least a year before releasing the product to the public. Winslow is also accused of telling one employee to stop studying the malfunction when it was found in yet another device because the company was getting ready to be sold. Once it was, the FDA was alerted and issued a recall. And in a statement, Meridian Bioscience, which acquired the company, said, quote, all of the company's current products from the LeadCare line are FDA cleared and will remain available for clinical use. Due to pending litigation, we will not comment further at this time.
That was Abby Nizgoda reporting, and all that taking place in Massachusetts. Both of the former employees were released without bail. They were ordered to stay away from any potential victims in this case. And speaking of those victims, right now the FBI is trying to track down more of them.
Well, this photo that we're about to show you has been circulating across many news outlets. It shows former President Donald Trump arriving for his criminal court hearing in Manhattan on Tuesday. The Getty Images photographer who took it, Michael Santiago, talked only on WREL about what it was like to be in this moment and capture this photo. The Pulitzer-winning photographer said it was quiet inside the hallway leading to the courtroom. And when Trump finally appeared, the photographer wasted no time.
I had my camera to my eye, pointed towards where to the door where he was walking out of, and I would just prepare for him to walk out. And as soon as that door opened up, I just hit my shutter and just kept it pressed. Everything around me at that moment just kind of like disappeared, and it was just me making sure that I got exactly what I needed. And I just focused on him.
Santiago also took this photo of Trump outside Trump Tower. He said it was louder than inside the courthouse, but both moments felt the same. You can watch Santiago's entire interview with WREL's Chris Lovingood on WREL.com in the Watch Now section.
He got the shot, didn't he? Just ahead, protecting against RSV may get easier. The world's first ever RSV vaccine is on its way for approval.
And climate change is a major issue for our world, but it may be helping a certain species. We'll explain. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Johnston, Granville, and Moore counties. The Johnston County Board of Commissioners unanimously approved a resolution to buy 20 acres of Cleveland Road. It would be the site of a new elementary school. The land purchase costs $800,000. No word on when construction will begin. And the town of Southern Pines won't be providing the Armory Park ball field site to the YMCA after all. They were going to give more than 8 acres to the Y so they could build a new indoor recreation center. But the town found out that the rules for the federal money they used to develop the park won't allow them to give the land away. Town officials will look for a different spot to build the YMCA's new center. And people in Granville County will soon have a new place to renew their vehicle registrations, their license plates, and more. The new license plate agency opens on Tuesday in Oxford. It's the same location as the previous one that closed back in November. The agency will be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, except on state holidays.
New at noon here in the WREL Live Center, Carolina Hurricanes playoff tickets on sale right now. That information just coming into the newsroom. The Canes have about 5 games left in the regular season. They're the Nashville Predators tonight. The Canes are really close to clinching the Metro Division. They wrap up the season against the Florida Panthers on the 13th. The Carolina Hurricanes will host the first 2 games of Game 1 at PNC Arena the week of April 17th. Again, playoff tickets on sale right now through Ticketmaster and, of course, at the box office.
The world's first ever RSV vaccine moves closer to getting the green light for adults and infants. Pfizer says it's asked for FDA approval. Researchers say a late-stage trial shows promise. Pfizer says its RSV vaccine was also effective in late-stage pregnancies, which could extend protections to newborns. Health concerns are growing over processed foods and additives used to alter things like their taste, color, and shelf life. Back in 1958, the FDA created the GRAS list, which stands for Generally Recognized as Safe. On it are hundreds of additives that the FDA allows in food products. Lawmakers in California, though, recently proposed legislation that would ban 5 additives on that list. 2 of them are dyes, an oxidizing agent, 1 is an emulsifier, and 1 is a preservative. Some dietitians say the problem is getting worse.
The problem comes down to amount. Back in the 50s, when the GRAS list first came out, most Americans in general made most of their own food. They weren't eating that much processed food.
Experts say studies show some of these ingredients, even the ones on the GRAS list, can cause cancer. Dietitians recommend substituting 10% of processed foods with natural or minimally processed foods.
Climate change may not be all bad. Coming up, the benefits some researchers say they found for at least 1 species.
Plus, it's one of the only times of the year the White House South Lawn is open to the public. Coming up, new details about the Easter egg roll and the role a North Carolina business is playing in the event.
You you've probably been hearing increased calls from scientists and activists about how climate change is destroying the planet. But researchers in Spain believe it's possible that they could also be helping a threatened species of turtle fight for survival. Marianne Rafferty takes a closer look.
While they're adorable, the loggerhead sea turtle is a vulnerable species, threatened by the plastic waste and fishing gear littering the oceans where they live. But researchers in Spain are noticing an increase in the number of loggerheads laying eggs along beaches across the Mediterranean.
This trend happening along the Spanish, French, and Italian Mediterranean coast could be a new colonization process.
And say it's possible they're getting a slight population boost because of climate change, citing how rising global sea temperatures, caused in part by increased greenhouse gas emissions, could be helping loggerheads expand their breeding grounds.
Areas where turtles never used to reach because they were not adequate for laying eggs are getting warmer.
According to NOAA, carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide emissions increased last year. Data from the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute also reveals the top 2,300 feet of the world's oceans have warmed by roughly 1.5 degrees since 1901. Meanwhile, scientists also credit decades of conservation projects in the loggerhead breeding grounds for giving the sea turtles a fighting chance at survival.
Many of these populations are improving. If a population is better, they begin to spread out.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. The Worldwide Fund for Nature says loggerheads are vital to healthy oceans. Their shells provide habitats for small plants and animals, and the turtles balance nutrient levels on the ocean floor.
Oh, we have some exciting news from the White House. The Easter Bunny mascot at the White House is getting a much-needed upgrade. The President and First Lady will debut the new mascot at the White House annual egg roll on Monday. Several people wear the costume over the course of the day. Monday's event is the 143rd White House Easter egg roll. And for the second year in a row, the theme is Eggjucation. The North Carolina-based Braswell Family Farms is supplying 30,000 hard-boiled eggs for the festivities. That way, when you roll them, you don't break them, they don't crack and have yolk everywhere.
I know. Hopefully weather will be good for these egg rolls, too, because here locally on Saturday, at least, it doesn't look too good. Meteorologist Kat Campbell here with our Easter weekend forecast, Kat.
I would recommend save all of your outdoor Easter egg hunts for Sunday. Sunday afternoon is going to be the time to get those in. Saturday, I just don't think there's going to be a good window at all for outdoor plans, unfortunately. A live look at Fayetteville. Things are nice and quiet. Still sunny. I actually just saw WRL's Gilbert Bays walk into the Fayetteville newsroom there. It's still nice out. You have a couple more hours before we would begin to see any thunderstorms pop up. Go ahead, run your errands, get outside, enjoy the warm weather, but be prepared. It is humid, really feeling steamy outside with a dew point of 67. Hour by hour, our rain chances 20% at 4 or 5 o'clock. By 6, 7 o'clock, a 30% chance. It's later on tonight that we have a better chance for rain and storms. We've actually seen the timeline for these storms slowing down by a couple of hours, and we keep in the chance of a severe storm through 10, 11 o'clock tonight. That chance highest near the Virginia line. The farther south you live, the lower your threat will be for damaging wind gusts and hail. Tracking our system, it's this cold front that brings a chance for storms tonight, but this front just gets stuck right over North Carolina in the southern part of the state tomorrow into Saturday. So we're going to see waves of rain moving along this front, moving from the southwest up into North Carolina. It acts like a highway for these waves of rain to just ride right along the front and make their way into North Carolina this weekend. Tomorrow should be a soaking day, high temperatures in the 50s and 60s. But here's the key to tomorrow's forecast. These temperatures are going to be first thing in the morning, and then we see temperatures actually falling into the upper 40s to lower 50s by the afternoon. So you may not need a jacket in the morning, but grab it because you're going to want it in the afternoon. Still 60s and 70s at the coast tomorrow, but the cooler air even makes it to Wilmington, Moorhead City by Saturday. If you have beach plans, you're still going to want to bring your umbrella with you from the mountains to the coast. Saturday is looking like a soaker. It's chilly and it's breezy too. I actually have been looking over some some new model data that's just starting to come in, and I think we're going to have to lower our high temperatures into the 40s on Saturday. It's really going to be a shock to our system after the 80s and the humidity we've been feeling the past few days. Easter Sunday, just a small chance for rain in the morning, and from west to east, we will dry out, clear out throughout the day. High temperatures near 60 on Sunday afternoon. It ends up being a much better day, and let's take a look at how much rain we could see from this system. We're talking 2 to 3 inches, perhaps 4 inches in spots, lower totals toward the Virginia line. Well, looking at Sunday's planner, though, that's when we should finally get to see some sunshine to help dry us out. And with that much rain, we're going to need that sun. Still a chance for rain at 8 a.m., but by 10 and noon, we dry out. Mostly cloudy skies, but mostly sunny by the afternoon. So try to get your Easter egg hunted during the afternoon hours. That's when we should have a nice bright blue sky. We'll be watching the radar closely for you on WRAL News this afternoon. Be sure to check in for an update on our severe weather event that we expect tonight. Friday, Saturday, cooler, no severe weather, but there are just going to be some gross days outside. Luckily, we do see improvements by Easter Sunday into early next week. Jeff and Michelle.
That is some good news. Thank you, Kat. Well, there's a new content sharing platform for the youthful community. Coming up, we'll tell you why some say this new app could be TikTok's twin.
And you're winning Powerball numbers on your screen right now. 3, 5, 9, 42, 52. The Powerball is 11. The Power Play is 2. We'll wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Today is a WRAL weather alert day due to the threats of strong wind and hail. The hot and humid weather may help to fuel severe storms this evening. Download the WRAL weather app to stay up to date with the latest information on the forecast.
Scary moments for a Durham mother this morning after her infant was abducted. The 6-month-old baby is back home this afternoon. Police responded to Courtney Creek Boulevard just after 7 o'clock this morning. The suspect in this case is a juvenile and has been taken into custody.
Republican lawmakers unveiled a bill to ban transgender female students from playing on girls' sports teams in middle school and high school. The NC High School Athletics Association is opposed to that legislation. 20 other states have already passed similar bans, and North Carolina is expected to follow suit. The bill is one of several filed yesterday aimed at transgender youth.
The movie theater industry expects to make a comeback from loss suffered during the height of the pandemic. 1,000 movie theaters went out of business since 2019. That includes some companies that shut down or filed for bankruptcy. Box office estimates ticket sales to range from $8 to $9.5 billion this year. That would make a $6 billion increase from 2020. A new Ford patent could send rescue drones in cases of emergencies. The Ford innovation could include the technology that would help stranded cars. The drone device would be sent to jumpstart cars with dead batteries. It would be stored in the trunk or the glove department and includes cameras and sensors for charging. So far, Ford has not announced any plans to move forward with this.
TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is rolling out a new platform called Lemon8. The new social media app is gaining a lot of traction for its TikTok resemblance. The app is also similar to Instagram and Pinterest and includes a following section and a For You page. Lemon8 launched in Asia in 2020. It was introduced in the U.S. in February. Data shows the app has 290,000 downloads in America as of a week ago.
Our pets of the day are a bonded pair looking for a home together. Inky is 11, Dodger is 6. Both have a common illness found in some cats. And because it can be spared, they should only live with others like them. Both cats are very sweet and gentle. They love getting scratches and will roll around happily with paws curled and bellies up in the air. Both cats are purry, big-hearted, and truly lovely. Inky and Dodger's adoption fee is waived. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
The hot sunny days are just around the corner. In fact, well, we're starting to see them already. Today at 4 on WRAL News, how you can protect you and your family best from dangers like skin cancer. And with the sun hiding behind the clouds, you might be safe today, but it still gets through those clouds. You know, some of the worst UV rays are on cloudy days.
Absolutely. So sunscreen always.
That's
good
it.
Idea.
That's all.
All right. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. If you have a long weekend, enjoy that. Be safe. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.